Okay.
Now I sound good. Okay.
Yeah, you were really low last time.
Not this time.
Not that.
No, no, okay. No. Not last time was fine. It was the time before that was low.
Yeah, I think it wound up fine. Yeah.
Well, God bless America.
Oh, man.
And, really? You know, I have to say, you know, it sees fire and it feels so good.
Well, it's all over, though.
Wait a minute. What? I didn't turn. I didn't.
Yeah, they've resumed.
Are you serious?
Yeah. I know. I know. It seemed so hopeful there for a second.
There's nothing on the headlines. And Sandra Day O'Connor died. Can you believe that?
Really?
Yeah.
Are we looking at different newspapers?
I'm on CNN homepage.
Okay. I'm on New York Times.
Israel resumes combat operations against Hamas. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So hopefully Biden and Blinken will have leaned on them enough that they will take a little more care with the civilian population.
Listen to what you just said. Take a little more care with the civilian, a little more care with the civilian population.
Right.
Yeah.
I know.
I was under the understanding that civilians were hands off.
That civilians what?
Civilians were hands off.
Well, right, and that's some people don't recognize that there are civilians in Gaza.
George Santos getting kicked out.
I mean, that's one of the reasons why we've waited so long to talk about this issue. I mean, I know I was shocked and horrified, as pretty much the world was, on October 7th. And I was more than ready to register my outrage and shock. But a lot has gone on since then, including the ceasefire that you talked about. And I really credit Biden and Blinken for
definitely
Israel into that.
Yeah, no, that was a tough political move there, and they had to do it, so.
Yeah.
Well, actually, no, they didn't have to do it.
Right, but they did.
So credit where credit is due. I mean, look, you know, you think about the situation that Biden walked into as president, you know what I mean? The pandemic and the whole economy in total upheaval and 12% unemployment. I mean, you name it.
And I think his response has been masterful.
If you just look at forget politics and just look at past legislation to help the American people, then it's a list already. I mean, he's done stuff.
There's no reason to expect that the $1 trillion infrastructure deal in a divided Congress, he got it done. Right. And I have to even wonder if Bernie would have been able to accomplish that.
No, you're right. There would have been a little bit of backlash against Bernie, right? They would have tried to.
Yeah. And Biden, the old school politician that he is, got it done. Okay. Well, talking about Biden. You know, conservative columnist Bret Stephens?
Okay. So you say?
writes for the New York Times. All right. Very conservative, usually. He had this to say about Biden. This column doesn't always abound with praise for President Biden and his administration. This week is an exception. I have probably read a half dozen times now his October 10th speech about the massacres. For its moral clarity, emotional force, and political directness, it deserves a place in any anthology of great American rhetoric. without equivocation, without mealy-mouthed cliches and evasions. He typifies so many institutional statements about the assault. And so that's remarkable coming from a conservative.
I mean, it's a great compliment, but I don't like the word rhetoric, but I understand it's there's an academic meaning to that, too. So,
right. And what's the way I have felt about his State of the Union speeches? They've been free of platitude. A long list of here's what we need to do and here's how we're going to do it. And basically, that's it. So I've been really impressed with, and I don't understand how so many Democrats are reticent there.
Do you think down the road, 20 years, do you think we're going to look back on Biden's presidency in the same way that we look at Carter's presidency now, kind of thing? Like
no.
he got too much shit while he was in office? And
well, that, yes. However, Biden's presidency has been much more effectual than Carter's was. Carter only had one term, and he was trying to get... He didn't quite understand Washington, D.C. yet.
Yeah, because he was
getting it
because he was too pure of heart.
He was too pure of heart. He had a Georgia team that was the administration, basically. But he was getting there, and he did. I mean, Department of Energy, that's Carter, you know. But what Biden's done more for the middle class than any president since FDR.
In a situation where a lot needed to be done quickly.
Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. There's, you know, people complain about the economy, and yes, prices are high. But if you look at inflation around the world based on a pandemic and two wars now, the United States has done quite well. Our inflation is lower than most of the rest of the world. The dollar is amazingly strong right now, strongest currency in the world. And you really got to, you know, lay a lot of that at Biden's feet.
Well, you know, we saw just previous to his term, we saw 4 years of not much, right?
Exactly.
I mean, not much.
4 years of an assault on democracy is what we saw.
Not much in the way of meaningful legislation for people, things to help people.
Well, they
not a whole lot.
I think the most meaningful legislation that the Trump administration accomplished was tax cuts for the wealthy, which is why we have such a deficit right now.
Bang up job.
Right.
The wealthy could not be reached for comment because they were at their offshore islands.
Well, yeah, because Bezos his yacht is so big he can't get it into port.
Well, there was something. Are they going to let him bring it into Venice or somewhere? It wasn't Venice.
Right.
No, you know, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think he was going to bring it to Holland, and it wasn't going to fit, and they were going to remove a bridge to get it through. And then everybody freaked out and was like, no.
That was a while ago.
Yeah, that was a while ago. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, this is something new. I didn't read the article. I just saw the headline. It made me laugh.
But you can write off your private jet completely. You know, when you buy a private jet?
You can write it off.
That's 100% write off. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's like a business capital expense for business. Yeah.
Can I just say that's wrong?
It feels wrong, right?
Morally wrong.
I understand it's used for business, so it just feels weird.
Yeah.
Capitalism sucks at capitalism.
Well, yes, because I think it really isn't capitalism. A free, free hand of the marketplace. The thing about unrestrained capitalism is money devolving to fewer and fewer hands, and which decreases entrepreneurialism, doesn't, you know, increase it, which is what I'd like to see.
Well, it goes great for a while, you know.
Yeah, right.
It goes great for a while, and then as soon as, pretty much right around the time you move the factory to an underdeveloped country, That's about the time it starts to kind of go off the rails a little bit, and then pretty soon
Then you wind up with a billionaire with a space program that beats that of most countries of the world, including our own.
All he wants to do is for you to tell him that you love him. That's it. That's all he wants.
I think you're right about that.
And not us, mom and dad, and they won't. You know, it's just not in them.
His star is becoming more burnished. The gleam is off the rose. Can I say that?
Gleam is off the rose. Yeah, sounds nasty. Yeah, it's probably accurate.
With Musk. He's his own worst enemy, it seems. I guess as we all are, but
guilty as charged, Your Honor. Like, <we're done. laughs> I wish I could get me in a room for 5 minutes. Believe me, alone, me in a room alone for 5 minutes.
you'd give you a piece of your mind.
Worm, Your Honor. I just channeled what was that? Pink Floyd, The Trial from the Wall. Him and me alone. Yeah, you know, the Twitter thing, kind of, because in America, look, we'll let you steal a business from somebody. You know, that's okay. That's part of the thing.
Sure.
You know, it's not, I mean, we don't like it, but we just would rather not hear about it. But you cannot be bad. There are two cardinal sins in the culture. You can't be bad on television. Uh-huh. And you can't look silly. You can't look foolish. And he looks foolish with Twitter. You don't take an entity, you know, that's worth $44 billion roughly, and then, you know, it's worth about six now. like it's hasn't, yeah, a yeah. lot of time hasn't passed. So
30% of activity on Twitter has evaporated since he took over.
I signed up for Twitter Blue just to cancel it. Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure how that reads out in the boardroom, but I mean, it was symbolic.
Mm-hmm.
I gave him $4.99. I gave him $4.99, basically.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Just a
kid. I never gave him anything, and I haven't been there in a while.
It's really sad too, because Twitter. This is what makes me think he might be evil, because, you know, Twitter, for all its scars and acne, it was true journalism in the sense of unregulated.
Sure, it was the platform of journalists.
Unregulated reporting, like
you could
embed yourself and put your report out there.
Yeah.
So we're definitely
as well as have it. Access to any number of celebrities and
sure.
politicians
and what they're doing.
Yeah.
What they think about Musk? No, I don't know. It's not good. This is we lost a little something with this, I think, and it's kind of maybe it's hard to quantify it exactly because it is a privately held company.
I'm sure it is.
But I feel like the hand of fascism, almost in a sense. Like if there was a fascist demigod wanting to stop this, this would have been a way to do it, right? So
right.
You know, just well, I'll take it over and just fuck it up and then make it.
Yeah, just ham-fistedly take it over.
Ham-fisted. Hams in each fist. Speaking of ham-fisting, how was your Thanksgiving?
I was going to say, speaking of ham-fisting,
how was George Santos doing?
expulsion vote is going to be today on George Santos.
What time is that? Because I really would like to see that.
I don't know, but it's probably going to be happening soon.
How much he ends up on Fox as a commentator? Maybe.
I would hope not. I mean, you should give him some sort of prize, though, for being the biggest liar in Congress.
He is entertaining, though, Santos. Like, you have to admit it, this is some entertainment. I know it's sideshow, but, you know.
Sure.
Does this cause a problem in Congress? Like, he leaves, and then what happens to his seat? You know what I
mean?
Well,
I think they have one less Republican seat for a little while.
Okay, which so they're already hurting for seats.
And I think the district that he's from could very well elect a Democrat.
Like they do, we'll do a runoff, right? Like a special out of.
I think that. Honestly, I don't know if that's going to be a special or I think it probably, or does somebody appoint one?
That can't be it.
I think it's a runoff.
It has to be a runoff, I would think.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's, you know, you have a lieutenant governor, then if the governor steps down, but I don't know. There's no lieutenant senator, you know, assistant representative.
Some states, well, like Gavin just replaced the Senate seat of Dianne Feinstein.
That's
a government appointment there.
What state is Santos from?
New York.
Yeah. New York. Every time. I love New York, but they're too punk rock, you know?
Too punk rock?
They're too punk rock. New York's too punk rock. Sorry. They will do anything. You know what I mean? They'll do anything. They'll elect anybody. I mean, but on the same hand, they'll elect anybody. So you end up with AOC, and you end up with
AOC.
And I'll even say this: you end up with a young, idealistic Rudy Giuliani that takes on the mob. You know what I mean? Don't forget, Giuliani was a different person before. You know?
Yeah, that's his own daughter says that.
Yeah, he's totally different. You know?
Took on the mob. Took on 42nd Street.
But you can do that in New York, right? Because it's a place where heroes are. So
I don't think San Diego has a 42nd Street even.
Does it have a mob?
Probably does.
Yeah, it probably does. So yeah. All right. Well, anyway. Well, I think, you know, house cleaning is always a good idea. So, you know, this guy, right, as entertaining as Santos was, certainly we don't want a serial liar in office.
Absolutely.
As funny and cute as he is.
So, but are they going to expulse? I mean, he's got two thirds of the House has to vote to expel him. And will he be expelled?
Nothing will surprise me. Neither way would surprise me, really. I mean,
right?
I mean, they're so morally they're so morally bankrupt as a party, you know.
It's amazing.
But he is embarrassing, though. See, that's caveat one: embarrassing on TV. Like it is embarrassing. So you can't do that.
So you're right. I mean, the fascists know that you know, to advance their ideology, they've got to, you know, check off certain rules.
Yeah, I mean, you can't be bad on look. The history is full of politicians that had everything, but were not good on TV. So, you know, what's his name? Ross
Nixon
Perot's,
and Kennedy.
Nixon Kennedy. Ross Perot's running mate, Stockdale.
All right.
You know
who
what I mean?
That?
Admiral Stockdale was the guy that Perot chose. Okay.
Right.
Admiral Stockdale. Now, Admiral Stockdale is a goddamn true blue American hero of a person. Okay. Like, he was the first guy in and the last guy out of Vietnam. The reason he had to turn up his hearing aid at the debate is because they knocked his eardrums out when they were torturing him, when he wouldn't spill his guts. Okay. And he looked bad on TV.
Wow.
He had to mess with his hearing aid, and people painted him as a doddering old man. And that was the closest we had to a hero getting into office, an actual hero.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, once again, TV bites us on, us on the balls.
You know, Clinton as a result, so that was a good thing.
Well, that is true. I mean, well, Clinton, there's the other side of the coin. As soon as he grabbed that saxophone on the Arsenio Hall show, it was over.
That was it.
It was over. It was over.
I really think you're right.
Everyone in the world was like, oh, Jesus Christ, finally, a cool guy, finally, you know, instead of like grandpa's accountant, you know.
But as I was saying before we, you know, at the beginning, the Hamas attack on the 7th has really changed things. And this is one reason it was good that we didn't talk then and we've waited, is that it has split both the right and the left within themselves, which is really weird. Bernie Sanders is getting fire for not calling out calling for, you know, ceasefire. And there's, you know, it's split college students. There's, you're either pro-Israel or pro-Palestine.
Well, the college students are killing each other also. That's happening.
Yeah. Or people are killing college students.
Yeah, we've had race-motivated killings on in both directions. Yeah.
And if you listen to you know, both Biden's speech and Bernie Sanders' speech on it, it's a lot more nuanced than that. It's clear that it's not a zero-sum game. Yes, there must, at the end of this, be a free Palestine. But what Hamas did on the 7th of October, whatever sliver of moral authority they had was completely blasted. That can't stand. And so that's kind of the context. It's really, it's not a zero sum game, in other words.
Well, TV is very interesting right now because yesterday they were showing ad nauseum a Palestinian kid getting shot by Israeli IDF. Did you see that footage?
I did.
Three or four kids. It looks like they're lighting firecrackers, trying to throw, you know, little incendiaries at the IDF kind of thing.
Right.
I mean, I must have seen that 15 times. I wasn't trying to watch it 15 times. Like, it was just, it was there. It was on every channel.
And it seems like they're both blaming each other for resuming, you know, the war first.
I thought we were at it. Really, did you think the ceasefire was going to last? I thought it was going to last, to be honest.
I did. I honestly did. Because one, there's 140 more hostages. I mean, I thought they would still do something about Hamas and they would, you know, they're in Gaza. Israel is in Gaza. And they're pretty much got it under, you know, their thumb, if not to say control.
Careful.
So, right? As if they, so I don't know.
I mean, I'm pro Israel, and I got to walk around on eggshells. You know what I mean? Like, I got to be careful. I have to be careful.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's like.
Well, I think one thing that's going to happen is there's a Netanyahu's got more criticism since October 7th than any time I've ever heard. He might wind up gone at the end of this, which would be a great thing, because.
Well, I think many Israelis are probably ready for that too.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
in Israel, and his whole pack of sycophants should be, you know.
It feels eerily like 9/11, like 9/11 response, in the sense that, you know, for the briefest of moments, the entire world was giving us sympathy.
Yes.
For the briefest of moments, like, you know.
Right. And so that's exactly seems like what has happened with Israel.
You know, and then the response, and then the whole world's like, hey, whoa, hold on a second here.
Yeah. Well, I think the split on the left and the right is mostly kind of extreme. I mean, I think most people, once again, as Biden and Bernie have pointed out, it's not a zero sum. It's, you know, there's a lot of, it has to happen on both sides. So, so where are we at today? Where are we going to go? I mean, I just, you know, saw this morning that they resumed the strikes. So
yeah,
we'll see if U.S. restraint has any effect. I think it has, but going forward here.
I mean, what changed, you know, in the last 24 hours, 48 hours? Like, what changed? I mean, seems like they were releasing hostages. It seems like those
Israel said they fired a missile.
Right.
Yeah. Israel said Hamas fired a missile.
Right. So therefore.
So now it's on.
Right. Can't talk about this.
I know. It's just too disheartening.
That's the reason.
The worst thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's not good. And you know, the what'll end up happening is they'll end up excluding reporters is what'll end up happening. You know what I mean? We'll start getting less footage of what's happening.
Right. Well, yeah. Which is kind of welcome, but well, on a lighter note, Henry Kissinger died.
Oh, is that why all the flags are flying at three quarter mast?
right? I mean,
brought to you by napalm. Who made napalm? Same people that made Roundup, right?
I think, yeah, Dow or Monsanto.
One of those. Yeah.
One of them. Yeah.
So, but, you know, Kissinger, Thatcher, Reagan, you know.
Yeah, right? That whole crew.
That whole crew. Now they're all back together again.
And, you know, the uncritical praise from some parties on Kissinger is kind of disheartening to hear, or even just reporting that doesn't also note
Vietnam.
Secret bombing of Cambodia, the overthrow of Allende in Chile, the arms to Pakistan,
right.
At least 2 million people's deaths could probably be credibly attributed to Kissinger.
At least let some history pass before you rewrite it.
Yeah, right.
You know, are we going to do like a national day of mourning?
I kind of doubt that.
Who's left of all those guys? You know what I mean? The war hawks from the Vietnam era. I mean, that's it, right? Like they're all
right. And
that's it.
He was 100, so that's why he hung on.
Yeah, he's like the last one, I think.
Well, good. I mean, did you see what Anthony Bourdain said about him?
Hmm.
You know, a while ago. Called him a treacherous, prevaricating, murderous scumbag. And he says you'll never understand why Kissinger is not sitting in the dock at The Hague next to Milosevic.
Wow. Well, that's a statement.
Right? He's not mincing words there.
You think Kissinger was watching all of the 9/11 thing going, oh, man, I could have done this better. You got a carpet bomb, Baghdad.
I think so. I think so. I mean, it's hard to know after the next administration exactly, because he wasn't a member of any of the administrations, but he was definitely advising and you know, he's a hero to some fascists, so his influence did continue. That's to be sure. Well, it was one of the things that really disgusted me with Hillary when she was running, was she was you know, publicly consorting with Kissinger and getting his advice.
Jesus.
Right? Probably had something to do with her loss in the election.
Maybe on some level, right? It didn't help. Oh, she's got Kissinger's ear.
Yeah, right?
I'm going to talk about Facebook for a minute.
Facebook, yeah.
Now, okay, so we had some problems in the past, the election, Trump's election, basically, where, you know, we found out that Facebook was
Russian interference.
Kind of maybe not vetting its advertisers so much, you know, kind of letting, you know, letting things slide by, let's say. I'm noticing some very disturbing trends in my Facebook feed. Most notably, well, there's several of them, but the one that's standing out the most to me right now is the trans swimmer Leah Thomas.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of her?
Yes, but I haven't paid much of attention to that.
Well, there's nothing to pay attention because she's a collegiate swimmer in any case, and nobody gives a shit about collegiate swimming at all. Zero. And I'm not trying to insult collegiate swimmers or people that I understand. It's a discipline, and it's, you know, like, I have great respect for collegiate athletes, what they go through. So, but nobody cares. Nobody's watching it unless your kid's in the contest, right?
Right, exactly.
Nonetheless, okay, every single day when I go through my Facebook feed, there are a minimum of 6 articles, okay, all about Leah Thomas and all about her crying because they're not going to let her compete in the Olympics. That's the story. They're not going to let her compete in the Olympics as a woman, okay? That's the story. Now, is it true, the story?
Right.
No, it isn't. Okay.
Is it even true?
It's not true. If you trace the article back, you end up on a satire site.
Of course.
So now we have a set, and what's even more weird is the site, the page where the article's coming from, inextensibly, it has nothing to do with anything. The name of the page could be Cats and Dogs and a picture of a cat. And then you open up the Facebook page, and it's all articles about Leah Thomas. Over and over and over and over again. Same article.
Well, which may be one reason why I haven't paid much attention, because I'm not worried about transgenderism. And the right seems to be completely focused on it.
Now, and the mistake I made, of course, was talking shit to these people a couple times in the past. Like, you know, jumping on the story and going, hey, this is bullshit, you know. Come on, you guys. This isn't happening. You got to be able to do a little research. Now it's weighted. Uh-huh. So now I'm getting all of them. So I can interact with the stories.
Right.
Is my theory. At least 6. And then you have another 6, and it's a black girl.
Interesting.
A black girl is playing the Little Mermaid. Okay, that was another. Yeah, that was another.
I remember
one. That was another one. Same thing again. You trace it back, and it's
she isn't black.
Well, there was that part of it too. And then the one that went the Snow White. We had a mixed race girl playing Snow White. So then that was a huge thing. Once again, right. Nobody gives a shit about Snow White.
Right?
It's not Americana. It's not American culture. It's a fucking Disney movie like a bunch of other ones, and it's meaningless, that story. But yet, 6 or 7 articles about it. It seems like there is a concentrated effort that costs money to make us argue about these things. Like the little small town, try that in a small town, that guy, that one?
Sure.
Never heard of the guy in my life until that story came out. Never have heard anything else about him since, but I have 20-30 articles every day, boom, about small town. He just wants, I mean, stuff about the guy, trying to make the guy look good. What's happening?
Right,
what
is
happening? Who is paying for the articles about Leah Thomas? Who's paying for that? Somebody has to be paying for it.
Well, people with money.
People with money. I don't think so. The reason why I don't think so is because nobody gives a shit about NCAA swimming. So this is coming from some weird.
Okay, so it
feels like it's a church.
The culture wars brought on by the right because their politics sucks. They're not doing anything at all. Republicans today in Congress doing nothing at all except sabotage, but they need to, you know, they need to somehow show that they're fighting the good fight for you, the American person. And so you've got to worry about invasion at the border, which isn't happening. You've got to worry about, you know, transgender story time. You've got to worry, you know, just all that you tick it off, you know, all this stuff that is either completely made up and certainly less than consequential. Then they do attack the economy, I guess, which once again, we've got one of the we've got the best economy in the world. So that's made up nonsense too.
The other the other variation I get is the coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers football team, kicking a guy or two guys off the team because they wanted to kneel for the national anthem. That's a story. I've seen it 20, 30 times probably. Same story.
Probably didn't happen.
Never happened, of course.
Yeah, right.
Never happened.
Right. Of course. You know?
And it only takes two clicks to find out that you're on a satire site, but you're, that's two clicks away. It might as well be on Mars for most people.
Sure.
I think people are getting hypnotized to think that this is a real issue, that Leah Thomas is trying to get into the Olympics as a woman. I mean, they really. We are sheep at the end of the day. Like, we are not smart as a group, right?
Yeah.
We're not smart.
Well, it seems our big problem is epistemological. Like, how do you know what's true? And people have really dropped the ball. I think it's that somehow in the internet age, we learn a few things.
Have we, James?
Totally false.
Have we? Because I see an article about Leah Thomas from a Facebook page that's called "Cats Are a Blessing," is the name of the page, and there's an article about Leah Thomas, and there's 3,000 comments on the article.
Yeah, right.
Cats are a blessing.
Well, I'm not saying we've learned true things. I'm saying we've just learned a lot of stuff, and now everybody has an opinion much stronger than they did 20 years ago about things.
And I think every opinion we have is stronger than it was about everything. And I think,
I think
the dopamine feedback loop, you know, that is social media is designed to show us things we like, and or things we'll argue about. One of the two, either back us up or, but they're all to start arguments.
I think that's a good observation.
Do you give a shit about what actress plays the live action version of The Little Mermaid? Do you care? Does it matter?
On my list of priorities, no, pretty low.
So if they put a Nigerian girl there as the Little Mermaid, does that do anything to American culture, history, anything? All they do is say they hate the country, and then they rail about things destroying the country that they hate.
Right. Many of which just are made up nonsense.
It seems like it's all made up nonsense. I'm trying to find anything with legs. I mean, I'm looking, I'm hunting, I'm trying to find anything. It seems like it's all just, well, rhetoric. It seems like it's another type of ad, it seems like. They're trying to get people to click and interact with the ad, right? That's the money, right? So,
did you see any of the Gavin and Ron debate?
Oh, damn it! I missed it. I gotta watch it.
Well, I'm gonna watch it too. I just looked at some of the recaps, you know. But and having looked at some of the recaps, I'm less interested in watching it. I will, but I'm kind of less interested in it.
It's hard to listen to Gavin Newsom so much talk because it sounds like he's method acting.
Right, he's almost too slick. However, I do like what he's saying, and I think he's done mostly really good for California.
How do you think Californians feel overall about it? There's some. I mean, I've heard bad stuff about him too from Cal, but before, you know, in the past, I mean. Are people...
Well, he was elected with nearly two-thirds of the vote, and then he was, when they tried to oust him, he was saved by another two-thirds of the vote.
I mean, to me, that feels like a presidential candidate, right?
He's super popular.
I'm just saying, California is a lot of votes, so it's nice to wrap all that up, right?
Well, some people think that's what he's doing. In fact, apparently that's what... DeSantis claimed that it was his shadow run for the presidency, which he was unequivocal. I'm here to support Biden, and which he did apparently pretty eloquently.
Well, until he's called upon to stand in his place, right?
Yeah.
I like it. Well, right. I mean, you know, it'd be nice to find a Democrat from Florida to be the vice president. Does such a thing exist?
I don't know if that's important. Like, there used to be a big that was really important. If you had the president from one area of the country, you wanted a vice president from another area.
Or
I don't
Ohio.
Think that's important anymore.
You know?
Yeah, right. Yeah, I know.
If I was running for president, I would cynically choose my vice president based on what the you know, voting advocates tell me. Like, oh no, you need to select somebody from New Hampshire. Oh, okay.
Well, the Civil War, our current Civil War, is happening in every community. It's not one section of the country against another. It's happening in every community, in every small town.
I am not seeing a lot of Trump bumper stickers. I feel like they've been purged yet again somehow. There's very few around right now. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's over.
Worry about Nikki Haley.
Well, I've seen her debate a couple of times. I wasn't impressed. You know, certainly she stands out against that group.
Yeah, she's not a dummy, and that's kind of even a bigger problem.
I mean, it's too bad that her and the Indian guy went at it too hard, you know?
Yeah, right.
Because he's excellent.
She came off better than he did, though.
But he's good, too, though. You know, I like his spirit. I like that he's young.
Okay,
and,
so he's articulate, you know. But I think he's an idiot. I don't think he's bright. I think he's articulate.
So like me. Yes, I'm familiar with the brand. Okay, yes. No, I know what you mean, though. But hey, that's what you want in a vice president, right? You know?
Right?
I would love to see an Indian American in the White House. I would love to see that. Maybe this isn't the right guy, but...
Who would you like to see in the White
House? An Indian American, for sure. I really would. I think there's a lot of Indians in this country. And, you know.
How's that working out for Great Britain?
What the hell are you saying now? We're not going to judge anything by a data point of one. I mean, we're not going to, you know.
Well, that's true. That's
I'm just
true.
Saying, let's give
everything. I'm not criticizing. I'm just wondering.
I'm saying we put a total scumbag criminal in the office. So
yeah.
All bets are off now. I think everybody should get a chance, you know.
And it's not a done deal that he's not going to get in there again. And the attack on democracy, he's sounding totally like Mussolini right now.
Yeah, we're going to end up in a war.
He's going to go after his... Yeah. He's going to go after his political enemies. He's going to be a unitary president. I mean, he's saying it. This is fascism, classic fascism, and he's fully embraced it. He'll put the people who saved us from fascism on January 6th, and before, will be gone. Many of them already are gone from Congress, but from the administration, he'll bring in his own.
Yeah.
Fascist team. It could be the end of U.S. democracy. And that sounds like hyperbole. I don't think it is.
Well, that's they're saying. That's why the holdup on the military appointments. Did you read that? That's one theory about that. That they're,
oh, really?
They're stalling
they
all
that. They want to weaken the U.S.
Well, they want to stall that out until Trump seizes power so he can fill those spots. I mean, there's a lot of spots available right
now.
You
think so? I don't know. Tommy Tuberville doesn't seem that bright, that strategic.
He's not, but I don't think it was his idea either.
That could be true, too.
You know, and he is dumb enough to be handled, so.
Certainly. Although I heard some equivocating statements by him about how he's possibly ready for some new appointments.
Well, the pressure's been mounting. It's like, you know,
yeah.
Enough is enough here. Yeah. Like, how weak would you like the country to be?
Yeah, exactly. And there's no question that our military readiness is compromised by this situation.
Speaking of military readiness, Travis Kelce dating Taylor Swift, big story.
I know.
Are you following that at all? Or
well, a little bit. I mean, I'm more following Taylor Swift herself trying to understand her appeal. I mean, she's the biggest concert seller in the world.
Yes.
Although it's interesting that I don't think it was running down the list of Rolling Stone magazine's top 100 albums. Taylor's not in there.
Well, it's very interesting. Well, it's very interesting that you mentioned that because, you know, Taylor's re-recording all of her albums, right?
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, so basically there's a boycott against the ones that are not hers.
Uh-huh.
Her fan base is gigantic. And this thing, every artist in the world should be celebrating her right now because this move she's made, she's going to be a billionaire at the end of it. She probably already is.
She already is. She already is. Like a month ago.
You know, she just said, look, you're not going to give me my masters. You're not going to sell me my master recordings. You're not going to let me hold my publishing. I'll republish everything then. So she's re-releasing all of her albums. She's going to re-record
them. I like her as a person. But I'm trying to understand her music, which I don't.
her music is, it's a character. Okay. So you're thinking about a girl from the ages of say 13 to 19, 20, let's say.
Right.
So that's the age of whoever's singing the song to you.
Sure.
And it's an honest dialogue. It's silly. It's about relationships. It's real. It's a real conversation. It's real, actually. It's not.
And that's what I'm reading, that it really connects to the actual experiences of these teenage girls that you're talking
singing
about.
She's singing what they're thinking. Right.
How does that translate into the, not only the largest fan base ever in the history of the world,
okay,
but...
Well, I'll answer
how
that.
How does that translate her political power?
Well, I'll answer that.
And
yeah.
All demographics and the whole thing.
She... The music you connect with at age 13, 14, 15, 16, you carry with you the rest of your life. That's your music.
Yeah.
And everybody is like that. And all that is not determined by your acumen of music or blah. It's all determined by proximal. It's all determined by your environment, what you have access to during that time, be it the radio, your older brother's records, whatever.
Right.
So here we have a group, the first group, the group that's in their 30s now, those Swifties, okay? They got the first albums when they first came out. They connected with it.
That's a good point. She's been at it for a few years.
She's been at it a few years. And now the next generation, the ranks are being refilled by new 13-year-old girls.
Right.
You know,
because
the thing, and meanwhile, you've got the girls that are between 20 and 30 now who are Swifties and bringing their daughters to the show.
Oh, right.
So
right.
This is never going to end. You're looking at Dolly Parton. She can do anything.
Still knocking it out of the ballpark.
Yeah, did you see her at the Cowboy game on Thanksgiving?
In the Dallas Cowboys.
She dressed as a Dallas Cowboys cheerleader. She looked fantastic. And the crowd was going apeshit. Yeah.
For a 90-year-old woman.
Unbelievable. I'm saying that's...
Well, she's not 90, but she's almost.
Now, when you talk about... You asked about political power and Taylor Swift. Now, consider that group that in short order, in the last year, has made her a billionaire. That happened in the last just months. I mean, this is a giant, giant voting block group of people, and it's only going to get bigger as time goes by. It will only become a larger group of voters.
So far... I have pretty much liked her politics. Taylor Swift.
She just seems like a regular person. I'm sure she isn't. I'm sure she's a weirdo. And I'm sure tons of stories will come out about it. And, you know, we'll get to tear her down the same way we do everybody. But, you know.
She did go to see Beyonce without Travis.
That's right.
And we know that. You and I know that.
You know, I don't know. I think it's a funny story, but I think, you know, you see all kinds of people seize power and, you know, she's doing it on her own terms. And I think the kind of positive thing she's doing for artists moving forward, other artists that are coming up.
Yeah.
Now people are like, I want my masters. It's part of, you know, it's part of the deal. As soon as an artist gets any power, they seize control of their publishing. So... I think it's a beautiful thing. I don't think Justin Bieber's first manager should be controlling 50% of the pop music in the country. Do you know what I mean? This guy, Scooter Braun.
I don't know who he is, but you're absolutely right.
Well, his name is Scooter, so that should. Do you know what I mean?
What does that do?
I mean, do you need anything beyond that? I mean,
know. No, I don't.
But they take advantage of these young artists. They don't understand the scope of anything. So I think Taylor's action is going to bring that into the discussion now. And it could be the end of record companies. I don't know. You don't need record companies anymore. So.
Right. Most of them are gone. The record companies that I was dealing with as a music writer in the 90s are all gone.
Right. They've been swallowed up by Apple Music or
Apple, Sony,
right.
Warner Brothers.
Right.
And those are the gatekeepers. Now, when we had a healthy indie scene and small labels that were getting lucky sometimes and having an outsized response for a performer, and none of that's happening anymore. You're either million seller or you're not even there at all.
I'm not there at all.
Me neither.
I should have learned to play the guitar.
Probably not.
You know, I heard that song growing up at an age when I was having guitar pushed on me, like, hey, learn guitar.
Uh-huh.
And I heard that song, Dire Straits.
Sure.
And I heard Mark Knopfler say, I should have learned to play the guitar. And it seemed like he was channeling me at that moment. Now, Mark Knopfler is a virtuoso guitar player.
Sure.
So for him to write a song where he says, I should have learned to play the guitar, is so nasty to people. Like, it's so, it's so mean spirited. If you think about it, like he's imitating you basically. He's imitating you looking at him. That's what he's doing.
So that was one of the things I was kind of responding against when I got into music was the domination of the guitar in rock and roll.
Hmm.
It still is.
Sure.
Although there was very little rock and roll in that top 100 list. Very little.
Hmm.
There was one metal band, black metal, God Flesh, I think they're called, and nothing else. Rocky, and certainly not my favorite rock band right now, which has announced they're not going to go on.
Who?
The Bobby Lees.
Oh, okay. Like the comedian Bobby Lee.
Is there? I don't know where they got their name, but
Bobby Lee's the Korean comedian. He's hilarious.
If
you ever get a chance, he's really good.
Yeah, I'd totally forgotten about that in my enthusiasm for the Bobby Lee.
Which would be an interesting homage to him. I think it's cool. Yeah.
Right?
He connects with people.
But they put on the most ferocious rock and roll show I have seen in years. And was, my faith in rock and roll is restored here. And they just recently said, look, we're not getting the response. We're not getting the money. We're going to have to take a break. Maybe we won't get back together.
We're going to take we're not making money. So we're going to stop touring.
That's kind of right. You know, obviously there's some more backstory than they've let out, but it was disheartening anyway.
Well, my favorite band, Tool, is performing on tour, and the front row seats are about $6,000. So
right,
yeah. So that's probably not happening.
Well, good for them that they can charge that much.
Oh, and but he came out.
He came out. And
he did come out in an interview. Maynard, the lead singer. And said that he found Tool fans in general to be insufferable retards.
He said that.
He said that.
Well, I guess proof is that some of them are paying $6,000 for front row seats.
And I saw an article about it and went into the comments section. It was half people going, yes, Tool fans are insufferable retards. And the other half were going, yes, we are insufferable retards. Everybody was in agreement.
The only thing that changed was the pronoun.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, no, I mean, you know. Well, we are. A lot of well, we are. And then a lot of people pointing that out, like, that's how lame you guys are. He can say that and you still support him. Well, we do.
But you're a big fan. I like their lyrics, and I like the first minute, their intro, their long intros, which are pretty noisy. I like those.
You know, it's he snuck. The problem with Tool is, like, the first few, you get like prison sex, and
yeah, I mean, you don't have a lot of bands singing about prison sex.
You know, and there's, you know, and there's a lot of lofty platitudes and concepts, but very aggressive and angry. Then they sneak the heart in on you, and then he's singing about, you know, his own issues, and you know, and they're pretty general issues that everybody has, of course. And you don't expect it. You don't expect to feel anything with your heart when you're listening to it. So it kind of, it does sneak up on you.
Okay.
And once it does, once those moments hook you, then, you know, then you become an insufferable, you know, like you said. I mean, you know what I mean? It's you don't care after that. So that's how I am with them. I mean, probably a half dozen musical moments touched me in ways that other music didn't.
Sure. Which, you know, truth be known, any band that's got a half dozen musical moments that touch you gets you there, almost all the way there.
Sure. Sure. I mean, you feel like, I don't know. You feel a connection. You feel, that's the only word I could describe, you know, I understand I have nothing to do with this guy, but you know, at the same time, on some level, we felt the same thing at some moment with something. So, you know, and for an artist to talk about their feelings like that, is a vulnerability that can draw you close as well.
Sure.
It's not a performance, you know, you're not seeing a show, you know, it's, these are songs. I don't know, whatever. I guess you could say it about,
real.
You know, somebody could be love Huey Lewis in the News and say the same thing back to me, you know? So like I said before, the music you connect with, it stays connected to you. You don't lose it.
Yeah, you know, sometimes it's just a good title for a song, like I Want a New Drug.
Sure. Great, great title. Or Weird Al Yankovic's version, I Want a New Duck.
I'm glad you know that, because I didn't.
You know, one that won't try to bite.
Yeah, right?
begging for breadcrumbs all night.
Well, Weird Al, you know.
God bless Weird Al, huh?
God bless Weird Al. Because I'm an atheist, but anyway.
Well, you know, a symbolic God, let's say. Universe is God.
Can you answer this? Do you think Blinken knows Winken and Nod?
Say again?
Blinken, the Secretary of State.
Yeah.
Does he know Winken and Nod?
Winking and nodding?
Winken and Nod.
The fuck is that?
Oh, maybe you don't know that song. Oh, that poem. What is it? It's a nursery rhyme. Winking and blinking and nod one day when I'm a ship over the ocean or whatever it is. Do you know that one?
No, but it sounds eerily like what was going on when they were swearing in Lyndon Johnson in that room. Seemed like, you remember that? Seemed like there was a lot of winking and blinking and nodding going on.
Well, right. You're right about that. It's a Simon Sisters song. Carly Simon and her sisters.
Oh, see, I didn't even know Carly Simon had a sister.
Oh yeah, they were the Simon Sisters in the, you know, the funk, the folk era in New York.
Now, did you connect with that?
I did.
Nice,
but not at the time. I had to go backwards on it. I had to go back to it.
I mean, I have a handful of songs I've probably listened to 1,500 times. You know,
well, I'm certain I do too.
And I know when I get drunk enough, I can play them in order, you know, you know, I enter at different spots. They're not a fixed order, let's say. Any of them can draw me in, but then I'll go through all six or seven of them. Yeah.
The ones that I always go back to, they're kind of on a lazy Susan, though. They're always rotating.
Hmm. I'm going to buy a record player.
I know, huh?
You know, that's what's missing now is sitting down and investing an hour into something, you know, a music, some
our,
type.
Our friend Morgan has a killer setup for vinyl.
Does he have, like, size big speakers and stuff like that?
He's got nice speakers. He's got, you know, the dope turntable, the dope cartridge on that turntable, and...
See, I don't think I need like speaker. I think I'd like to get a unit where the speakers are built into the thing. I don't need it to be really loud, really.
Well, I mean, that's part of the deal too. I mean, modern acoustics is smaller speakers, but more of them, and so you can you can get the clarity at lower volume.
That's what I want. I want clarity and low volume.
That's aging.
That's aging, brother. You know, the next show we're going to do, I guess we're wrapping this up, but the next show we're going to do is going to be specifically about aging.
Okay.
Or at least part of it.
A little bit about it.
If we remember.
We've already started.
Damn it. Weren't we supposed to do a show about aging? No, but to the young people out there, watch your asses, because I will run you over. I don't know. I'm jealous of you. No. But, you know, we send a shout out, a special shout out to our fans all over the world listening.
Around the world?
Around the world. And, you know, we're glad to be back with you through this journey.
All you fascist fans in New Guinea.
All you fascist fans in New Guinea, Papua. Welcome. Also, welcome to our fans in Australia. Love to have you. And, you know, you're like Californians in a way, right? In a weird way.
Kind of, yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah, we like barbecue too.
We love barbecue and beaches and sharks. Oh my.
I'm not big on shrimp, but it's nonetheless, that's just me. There's plenty of shrimp around here.
You know, it's a bug.
That's what I'm saying.
It's a bug. It's a bug. It's not. It's not like a bug. You know what I mean?
It is a bug. Yeah, right.
Like when you break out the biological chart, it's like two sections over from bugs. So it's right there. Shrimp are delicious though. James, thank you.
Thank you, Dave.
And thank you to all you little monsters out there. We should come up with a name for our fans. You know, like Gaga calls her fans of the little monsters.
Oh, like Swifties or... Exactly. Right?
Let's not... We won't choose it now, but we'll shoot that out to the fans.
We should put some thought to it.
And if you want to email us, what's the email?
We can't call them all you fascists.
Well, we don't want them to be little fascists. That's not going to work. So.
Little fascists.
Folks, I hope you understand this is an anti-fascism show.
You know, I hope they understand.
I think there's a handful of you that are confused about that. Nonetheless.
Which it can be.
But do we have an email that they can submit?
We'll come up with one and we'll lay it on them next week.
There you go. So
I think we do, but we haven't talked about it in a while. So
I think it's all you fascists at Gmail, but I don't know if it's still working.
I'm pretty sure that's true, but let's try that. If it doesn't work, next time we meet, we'll tell you what.
Yes, and come up with a name for yourselves that you like. So.
Oh, there. Yeah, name yourself.
Name yourselves.
All you fascist fans, name yourselves.
Name yourselves,
please.
Yeah.
I
like it too. Yeah, because they're doing it. You know what I mean? We don't have to do it. So. But they could come up with something great, though.
Right? They really could.
Yeah. What if somebody is a little fascist? It's not gonna. Nothing with the word fascist. Don't waste your time. Do not send us anything with the word fascist. I will block you. So.
Okay. Good. I second that emotion.
All right, you've been listening to All You Fascists on your preferred radio network. Something hardcore. And we spend the afternoon.